I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I feel like I'm back home in Africa. Wow, it is so good to be here with you this morning. I have so many things that I want to say. And I told myself, I was just talking to Bruce, I told myself I wasn't going to cry. But that already happened up there. I ate some carpet, and God is good, isn't he? For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Jeff. I'm just Jeff. And I attended this church 27 years ago. I was here for about 10 years. And at the time, I was tall, but I had hair. So maybe that helps you remember me if you were there at that time. But I'm so blessed to be able to come back. I got here early, and I was sitting over there where Bob Floyd would play after service. And the praise team was praising. They were practicing. They're amazing, by the way. Good job. And all these memories started to flood back. All these good memories. There were no bad memories that came back. Only good memories. Memories of doing church with my family. Sitting over here, because that's where we sat. You know, back in the day, you had a spot. The Lees were over there. Okay, I had that. That's where I was. My mom and I would sit over there. I remembered being at the altar, praying and crying. I remembered worshiping. I remember dancing. Yeah, that was a sight, let me tell you. The old two-step. Do you remember the two-step for those of you? Yeah, I could cut a rug with a two-step. I remember the presence of God. I remember the spirit of worship in this place. And I was so grateful for those memories. Those 10 years, God poured into me to be able to do what I do now. And this church was vitally important in that preparation process. And for me to be able to come back home and say thank you is just an honor for me. I am so blessed to be here today. And then to enter the service and feel those same things, the presence of God, the spirit of worship, to know that my spot at the altar is still there, that I can come before the Lord at any time and cry my eyeballs out and know that he loves me. Know that he is in my corner. And I felt like the Lord kind of gave me a little word for myself this morning, and I just want to share it. Fear not. And he said that, and I'm like, Lord, what do you mean, fear not? What are you talking about, fear not? I don't fear anything. You know, and the man in me started to rise up. I don't fear anything. Come on, bring it on. And then he began to point, oh, this, okay. Those little things, you're right. Those things that sit in the back of your mind that you're, what's going to happen? What if Kamala wins? Lord, what's going to happen? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he's in control, right? And he already knows. So why live in that fear? Lord, what if something happens with my job? He's got you. He loves you. He's going to take care of you. Lord, I need a job. He's got you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide. Remember the lilies of the field? Remember the birds of the air? Hey, I got you. This morning, fear not. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. As you walk, he walks with you. There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. Okay. We are Jeff and Abby Hunt. This is, I'm getting back to what I'm supposed to be talking about. This is my wonderful wife, Abby. I know for those of you back in the day, you may have had concerns that I would never get married. Thankfully, the Lord, in his infinite wisdom and power, made it happen. We have two wonderful children. Do you want to share your names? Where did you go? Do you want to share your name and kind of tell the people what your name is all about? You can do this. I know you can. You talk so much in the car and at home and with your mom.
Elizabeth Tumelo.
Her name is, for those of you who didn't hear, her name is Elizabeth Tumelo. And we know Elizabeth means God's promise, but Tumelo, that's kind of a different name. What's the story with your middle name? It's African. I'll answer the question for you. And it means what, Beth?
Faith.
Faith. So God's promise of faith. One of the things that we wanted to do was to give our kids a piece of Africa that they'll take with them for the rest of their lives because we love Africa. Son, second born. We homeschool, and there's a part of me that really wishes I was back in America with my kid playing middle linebacker as a 9-year-old, just ready to crush somebody. So, you want to share your name? Oh, we're shy. This is Jordan, and we all know that Jordan means flowing down, and your middle name is?
Mohau,
and that is an African name that means grace. So he is flowing down grace most of the time. Love you. The kids are going to go to kids' church now. And what we want to do this morning is we want to brag a little bit. Not on the Hunts, but we want to brag on Jesus and what he is doing in South Africa. So we want to first give you a little insight into the ministry. We've been in South Africa for 15 years. Yeah. 15 years. And God has been faithful through all of those 15 years. Now, we're independent missionaries. We're not with the Assemblies. I know there's some connection in the past with the Assemblies of God in this church, but we're independent. Engage Africa is our own 501c3 organization. And I remember when we were getting ready to go, and we were trying to figure out, Lord, how do you want us to go? Do you want us to go with an organization? Do you want us to go as independent missionaries? What do you want us to do? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, if you go independent, I'm gonna bless you. If you go with another organization, I'm going to bless you. Just go. Just go. I think sometimes we make too much of the decision. You know, you have to have it written on the wall. No, you don't have to have it written on the wall. The Lord will lead you. He'll direct you. Make the decision. Move forward. Hey, can you help out with this ministry? Well, you know, I need the Lord to tell me that. I don't know. He did. He told you that already in his word. He said, serve. He said, minister. Be a part of it. Amen? So, yeah, I am going down all kinds of rabbit trails this morning. I apologize. Usually it's smoother and more concise. As you can see up on the video, there's a picture of South Africa. We're all the way down at the bottom of the continent, and it is a country. Many people go, where are you from in South Africa? Well, we're from South Africa. It's not a region. It is a country. And we stay in a little place called Rustenburg. Rustenburg is that starburst there. You can see it up. We're about an hour and 15 minutes west of Johannesburg, if you know where that's at, one of our three capital cities. And to begin, we want to just give you a short video. Videos are always good. They always give you a taste, a feel, a flavor of what the ministry looks like. So let's hit that.
Amen. It is such a blessing to be with you guys today. I want to tell you a little bit about a picture of the situation in South Africa right now. There are right now about 4 million orphans in South Africa. About half of them are orphaned directly because of the HIV/AIDS pandemic. I know y'all don't actually hear those words very much anymore, but we are still seeing repercussions of that disease there in South Africa. Another really growing situation that we have is child abandonment. So thousands of children, specifically infants, are found abandoned every year. And there's a variety of reasons for that. But our heart really is for the children. We've partnered with some other organizations and working on some of the sources of those issues. But our heart really is for the children that are left in the wake of these issues. About 60% of the children of South Africa live in what they call multidimensional poverty, which means of the seven need factors that people study, they are lacking in four or more. So not necessarily the same four, but four or more of, or at least four of those areas. So the children of South Africa are struggling more than the greater population of South Africa. And that really is what called me and Jeff in the beginning to South Africa. Actually, each of us were called separately to South Africa. And then we thought, oh, God wants us to do this together. That's a great idea. So so we just were drawn to the children of South Africa. And one of the verses that God used was Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. I know you know this verse. God says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. And we started looking at those numbers and thought to each other, oh my goodness, Those are nation numbers. We're talking millions and thousands. So we started praying, Lord, give us a nation of children. Give us a nation of children that were once called orphaned, that were once called abandoned, that were once called invisible, that can now be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that has been our driving force in South Africa. And God has taken us in really interesting directions to get there. But through everything that we've done and where he's led us, that has been the calling that has just put one foot in front of the other every single day. That is what we wanted to be involved in. So a few years ago, God opened a door for us to be able to purchase property in Rustenburg. And I had been talking with social workers in Rustenburg, asking them, listen, what is your greatest need? Is it a women's home? Is it, you know, just what are the greatest needs? And they said, We need homes for babies. We need short-term housing for babies so that we can figure out permanent placements for them. So we immediately started to build a house. You saw the house in the video. So we've built this house called Bridge of Hope. Our desire is that their time with us would be that bridge between their current crisis and their forever future, their future healing. So that's our heart for the home. Now, it was finished and furnished 2 years ago, and we don't actually have babies in it yet, because here's our situation with the government. Our local social workers are saying, yes, this is a desperate need. In South Africa, you can't actually present your business plan until the health department has come and given you license for the building, so the building has to be done, has to be furnished. So health department has said, yes, we can have 35 to 40 kids in this house. It's designed for children ages 0 to 5, but our province, so that would be like our state level, our province is saying, oh man, Rustenburg is a big city. There's another children's home in this city. We can't put any more there. It's too much funding. Legally, they have to give at least partial funding. So they're saying, nope, you're on hold for at least until the next funding cycle. So we've just been in this battle with social development. Like, hey, we have this, like, we're on the same team here. We're seeing the children, we know the need. Help us to be able to help you. And so it has been a battle. And over, especially this year, as we came to the point of going, okay, God, now we have this empty building. We know that you're still busy. Right? We know that you're working on this because we know that it's your idea. So our prayer has been two things. One, how do we get breakthrough? Send us someone, because we need another person on the team that can step in to this relationship with social development. And what do we do with the empty house? Because this house is meant to be filled with children. So that has been our prayer, and it's brought us to two victories this year. One, a friend named Millicent is her name, and she actually has been a friend for years and years and years and years. But we talked with her, and she has now moved to Rustenburg. She is taking over the relationship with social development, and I just heard this week that everything is now in place so that when we get back to South Africa, we can start bringing in babies. So that's really exciting. Just one second. Ooh, that got me this time. But the other thing is that with the empty building, because we didn't know that until this week, we connected with a local school and the community that's right close to us. There's a lot of kids that are bused to a local school, and they go home to empty houses or dangerous situations. And so we've started an after-school program. So children are coming in after school for a few hours. They have a safe place to play. They're getting something to eat. They're hearing about Jesus. They're making decisions for Jesus. They're being discipled, and they're getting some help with homework as well, here and there, I think. But that is very exciting to us. And that brings us to two challenges. One, we are finally bringing babies in, which means we are needing more people to say, yep, I will sponsor a bed there. I will help fund the babies that are going to be there, because we need caregivers, we need milk, we need diapers, we need all the things to cover the cost of the babies that are going to be there. And then the second challenge is that now we have a bunch of kids from the community that are using the house, so I'm going to need a separate place for an activity center for the kids that come in after school, because they can't be in the same home with the government, with the legally placed children. So we need a little separate building. It'll be right there next to the children's home, so they'll be able to use the same playground and all the things. But it'll be like a, what did we say last night they call it here? Obviously not park home. like a mobile classroom. So some schools use a mobile classroom of some sort. It's very similar to that, but it'll have a large meeting room and then a couple of small rooms where the kids can get a snack or have a reading nook. So that is where we're headed this year. And we are excited to finally see forward motion because it has been just such a challenge in that area. But whenever there's a challenge, whenever you can't see what God is doing in one area, he often makes it really clear what he's doing in other areas.
Well, when let me just say, I want to say this one thing about the after-school program, because I think this is a funny story. If it's not, laugh anyways, okay? When we started, I was talking with Millicent, and I said, well, a good number for you, and she has one of her daughters that's going to help. I go, a good number would be 10. I go, you can do, and do it this way. If you want a larger numbers, do 10 come Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and 10 comes Tuesday, Thursday. So she's like, okay. So they contacted 20 kids total, and the first day they all showed up. And she said, okay, well, you and you and you, you 10, you're supposed to come on this day, you 10, you come on this day, next day, they all showed up. Next day, they all showed up. There was a holiday. They all showed up. They had told them, don't come. It's a holiday tomorrow. You stay home with your families. They all showed up, and they brought their siblings. They brought their family with them. So it's great because you're seeing that these kids are enjoying and loving what is happening. And that's a great place to be able to share Jesus with people. If they enjoy it, if they love it, they're going to be receptive to the Word of God. Amen? So one of the things that God did when we went to South Africa was he laid it on our heart to start a church. I never thought that I would be a pastor. Honestly, never wanted to be a pastor. If I'm honest with you today, it wasn't in what I wanted to do. I've seen what some churches do to pastors. I didn't want to experience that. So take care of your leadership, eh? Take care of your leadership. Don't bring more headaches. Bring victories. So we began ministering in this community. It's the community's name is Freedom Park. It's a squatter camp of about, I always forget the number, 25,000 people. They live in, most of them, about half of them live in tent shacks. The other half live in government-subsidized homes that are very small. But a tent shack community, no running water, no electricity, and some of the poorest of the poor in our community. And Abby and I were going out there, and we were witnessing people. And came to a point where we just really felt like the Lord say, it's time to take the next step. You can't just witness. You just can't evangelize. Jesus said, make disciples. Be about making disciples. So we did, and we started Hope Church. And Hope Church has been established since 2012. And we have seen a good number of people come through. You have to know that Freedom Park is a very transient community. So people come in. We share with them, we build them up, we disciple them, and then they move out. So our numbers stay at about 25 to 35 for adults, and so that's just what we got in the cycle of doing. And this past year, I just really felt like the Lord was saying, it's time to up it a little bit. We need to increase the numbers. We need to increase the territory, okay? So We began, the theme of this year is fight the fight and shine the light, okay? We're going to fight the fight, but not necessarily going out and finding spiritual battles to fight, but fighting the fight of each and every day, doing those disciplines that draw us closer to Jesus. And that's a fight, too. I struggle with those things, too. That's a fight. Open that Bible sometimes, eh? It's a fight to make sure I take time to pray sometimes. So we began to do that, to fight the fight of praying, reading, going to church, fellowshipping, serving, doing what God has called us to do. And out of that relationship building, your light shines, right? It's nothing special. It just automatically happens. It's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. You can't make yourself love people more, but as you love Jesus more, that fruit just begins to grow, and you find yourself loving people that you never thought you could love. Right. And so as we we've been praying, revival, Lord, bring revive our hearts and revive the draw the people in from the community. They're not doing anything on a Sunday afternoon anyway. Just bring them in. And so as we came out of July, we saw something happening in our children's ministry. Our numbers began to grow. Now, we were running about 75 kids on a Sunday morning. We jumped past 100. We were at 125. And one Sunday, we had 140 kids. Now, we have a double-wide shipping container for a church, okay? I'm told it's the nicest double-wide shipping container that in Freedom Park. That is a place of meeting God. And so as we see this, we're just like, oh, wait a minute. Something's happening down low. The next month, I'm talking with our youth pastor, and he's like, Pastor, something's happening in the youth. Our numbers are growing. Kids are coming. Boys are coming. Boys never come to youth group. Boys are coming. He goes, Pastor, we've been averaging 30. And on our last Fellowship Friday, which is a time where we send out hot dogs and it's just a fun time, he goes, we had 61. And I go, wait a minute, Spuzizo. I only sent 60 hot dogs. What did you do? He goes, oh, we split a hot dog. It was fine. And so we're coming up, we're leaving the end of August, and I'm like, Lord, this is great. Oh, Lord, I'm going to be in America when it hits the adults. So we have heard some good things happening that side. I've told our leadership strict orders to make sure that they communicate with me. They WhatsApp me all the time. What's going on? Who's coming? Who's not coming? And hearing some good things that side. But God has been faithful. Amen? Even though it didn't look like there was much going on at the shelter, God was faithful in another aspect that we could see. That would encourage us as we go into the shelter and pray, and as we seek God for the next direction of that place. And so we are just so grateful to be able to be here and to be able to share that. Amen? Our God is good. And he's not just good in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's good throughout the world. He's good in South Africa. He's good in Europe. He's doing amazing things. We just need to make sure that we're a part of those amazing things and do it our part. Amen? Come, Abby.
Amen. We love to share the victories. We love to share what God is doing in the ministry and in the city. But I also want to take a minute and share with you what God has been doing in us. The Holy Spirit has been moving and has been working and has been growing us. And we've come to discover, or maybe re-realize, that when the Holy Spirit is doing something in one part of his body, he's often either preparing to do the same thing in another part, or he's already busy speaking those things in another part of his body. So I'm a note taker. I love a good 3-point sermon organized in an excellent outline. If there's alliteration, it makes my heart happy. That is not what I have for you today. Sorry, if you're a note taker like me, you're just going to have to try to listen for the nuggets that you're going to hear. Because really what I have for you is a testimony. And I want to share with you the way we've seen God working and what he's been speaking in us, because I believe he's speaking the same thing to you. Let's just pray again right quick. Lord, we love you. Father God, we sense your presence here. We know that you're here. We know that you've already been speaking. Lord, open our hearts and open our minds to hear the rest of what you have to say to us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If I could pick just one word that describes what God's been doing in us and teaching us this year, it would be the word faithfulness. But God really had to kind of expand my definition of the word faithfulness, because to me, I think I've always used faithfulness simultaneously with consistency. Like, you know, faithfulness is showing up when you say you're going to show up. It's doing the right thing when you know it's the right thing. It's consistently being who you say you're going to be. And God showed me another part of that word this year, and that is that faithfulness combines the word consistency with intentionality. Right? It's not only showing up when you say you're going to show up, but it's being there with a purpose, on purpose. Right? It's intentional about who you are when you are somewhere. It's not just showing up, ticking the box, I've been there, I did that, but it's being a place on purpose with a purpose. Because that is God's faithfulness to us. When God shows up for us, He shows up on purpose. When He shows up for us, He shows up with a purpose. He is doing something. And that's the kind of faithfulness that I want to have. Now, Jeff mentioned that this year God was directing us that the theme for Hope Church was going to be fight the fight, shine the light. Now, I told you a little bit about my life with social development the last 2 years. So this picture you see behind me, that's how I pictured fight the fight. Right? We are out there. We are fighting the spiritual battle. Satan is not going to be in our way. This is what battle looks like. We're praying. We're following through. But this year, we reached a point at the beginning of the year when I realized that I had literally done everything that could be done. There was not a single more meeting that I could have. No more papers. Man, I'm so emotional today. I'm sorry. Oh, there was nothing more that I could do until someone else did something. So our question was, well, now what does the fight look like? And so God had to shift the focus of what spiritual warfare was going to look like for us, right? It wasn't going to be the same as it had been for 2 years, because we knew that God was still working in that situation. There was still a battle happening, but our part in that battle was on pause. So, okay, God, what does that look like now? Now what do you want for us? And that verse from Ephesians chapter 6, I don't have a slide for this one, sorry. But talking about putting on the armor of God, right? Anytime we think of spiritual battle, we think of the armor of God. And it says, having done all, stand firm. Right? So we go back to what it means to stand firm. And sometimes after the battle has been out there, we've got to really focus on the battle that is in here, that is in us as a body, that is in us as people, and we go back to what it means to be faithful. What does that look like? Today, we sang a song. I'm way off my notes. Hang on. We sang a song that said, we lift you high, right? You are high within our hearts. You are high within our minds. And as we're singing that song, I felt like the Holy Spirit was asking, and will you make me high within your time? Will you make time to consistently and intentionally be in His presence? Right? Because that faithfulness shows up in our prayer time, in our Bible reading, in what it looks like to be in community, right? Is church a spectator sport, or are you truly contributing to the community that you've chosen to be part of? It's shining your light. It's talking to other people about Jesus. This is what faithfulness looks like. And sometimes that is a battle. Sometimes it's a battle to be where you say you're going to be. Sometimes it's a battle to just be in the presence of God. And God is asking us, listen, will you make me high in your time? Right, will you stop the scrolling and be in my presence? All right, will you just pause for a minute? And not just any random minute, but will you make a plan with me to be in my presence at this time, at this place, with this person? Because listen, there was a powerful word that was shared today that said, our praise is the weapon that rends open the heavens, right? Listen, faithfulness is the training ground that makes you ready to partner with the presence of God when the heavens are rended. He is looking for a bride that is ready to partner with Him. He's ready to open up the heavens. He's ready to meet us where we are. He's saying, yes, praise. Let's do it. Let's get loud. What are you going to do with it when I give it to you? Have you prepared? Are you ready to take what he wants to give? Because if you're not, then he's handing out weapons to unprepared soldiers. And we are in a spiritual battle. Sometimes it's a physical battle. There are some of us that have been praying for things to happen, and yet we've not been showing up with consistency and intentionality to just be in his presence. We tend to think of prayer in different ways. Right? I'm what I would call a Bible study prayer. I like when there's an agenda. I love, you know, give me a Bible study, give me several verses. I will pray for that specific change in my life. I like to be able to pray for things that I can track, like I can see the answers. It makes me very happy. I have some friends that are warrior prayers, right? If there is somebody that you want to go to, if you've got something you want to pray for, you want to go to the person that is going to, man, their words are going to knock down every stronghold and usher in the Holy Spirit. You got warrior prayers. We have some people that are formula prayers. They love the Lord's Prayer is so powerful, and the words of Paul, and they want to pray scripture, and they want specific words, and there's that power that comes from consistency. And there are some people that just pray, they're like verbal processor prayers. Everything that comes to their mind, they're just an ongoing conversation with God. And I think all these things are important and powerful. But what if prayer is more than that? What if prayer is not as much about the words we say and how we say them, but what if prayer is also just stopping to be in the presence of God? Without the agenda, without the prayer list, right? The Bible clearly tells us that we enter his gates with thanksgiving and we enter his courts with praise. So we start by thanking him and praising him, and there's such power in that. And then from there, some of us have a hard time stopping talking. I do. I have a hard time stopping talking because I feel like prayer should be like, there should be energy involved, but sometimes some of us need to stop talking and listen, right? And some of us use that as an excuse to not really pray. I'm just listening to Jesus. Some of us need to actually use words to talk to God and think about why we're there in his presence. But I believe that's God's challenge to us today. Will you take time to be consistently and intentionally in his presence? At Hope Church this year, we started Monday night prayer. So every Monday night, we meet from 5 to 6. And we started that at the beginning of the year, and it was awkward. Man, people didn't really know what to say. There was a lot of coaching involved. We had to kind of come with a plan. So sometimes we prayed through the Lord's Prayer. We would do some coaching. We would spend a few minutes in prayer. There were short prayers and more coaching. And then every week when we showed up from 5 to 6, there were about 30 people that showed up every single week from 5 to 6, and it became less awkward and more powerful, right? And more comfortable sitting together in his presence, and more comfortable saying out loud what was on our hearts, and more comfortable hearing the Holy Spirit and saying, Pastor, I think God wants us to pray about this. Great, let's pray about that right now. Let's do that together. And it became a precious time that people looked forward to being together. And here's the part that I really want you to hear. We started seeing on Sundays when we gave a time of testimony. African culture is super inclusive, so everybody wants a chance to share something. So we started seeing on Sundays when we had a time of testimonies, people are saying, I got a job. I've been praying for such a long time, and I got a job. And I really think it's because I've been coming to Monday night prayer. I think God is answering. Imagine that. It's almost like God is answering prayers. there was one lady that said she was getting home from work and it was dark and her husband didn't get her message, and she was carrying groceries and she felt the presence of a man behind her, and she had that terror that struck her heart. And she said, but I didn't let that stay. I just prayed, Jesus, you know what I need. And she's like, I kind of started running, or at least walking faster. She said, but then the guy tripped. I don't know how he tripped, but he tripped and fell. She's like, I think an angel tripped him. She's like, I took off running, and she made it home safe. And that's an awesome thing, because Freedom Park is not a safe place to live. But the most amazing thing to me about that story is that she noticed what God was doing on her behalf. Because see, that's one of the things that happens when we spend time with God consistently and intentionally. He starts to open our eyes to what he's already busy doing, because there is never a time that God is not busy working on your behalf. Never. There is never a moment that God's not busy working on your behalf and on my behalf. But there are so many moments that we don't notice what he's doing, because our minds are somewhere else, our hearts are somewhere else, our time is somewhere else. But he's busy working. And here's what we found. When we show up with faithfulness, God doesn't have to show up because he's already there, but he shows off his faithfulness. When we show up with faithfulness, it gives God the opportunity to show off his faithfulness. And we get to see it. And when we see it, we get to partner with him to bring about what is in his heart to do on our behalf. Because he loves us so desperately. And he is looking for us to reflect that back to him so that we can see what he's doing. Will you stand with me today? I ask you to stand because there's something that happens in our hearts when we change the position of our bodies. So if standing is too much for you and you need to sit down again, it's fine. If you want to raise your hands, it's fine. But I want us to get our hearts in a position to respond to what God is saying in our minds. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is talking to more than one of us. There's some of us that he's calling to establish a time of consistent and intentional time with him. There's some of you in this room that have been faithful, and you have a consistent time, and you spend time, but you're weary. And God wants you to know that he sees you. And don't grow weary. He's got you, and he's working. Because there's never a time that he's not working on your behalf, even when you can't see it. So I want us to pray together. Before we pray, there are a couple of things I want to say. One, we hope that you will pray for us. There's a list that they can put on the screen if you want to take a picture of it. There's a few things that you can pray for, but you've heard a lot of things today that will give you food for thought and things to pray about. We are rejoicing that we are going to be able to bring babies in, but please pray that the right women will be in place to care for these babies. We want these babies to be pastors and missionaries, and they're gonna change the world because they've come in to this house, and we need the right women to work with them. We need a breakthrough for the children that are coming after school, because they do come from dangerous situations, and they need Jesus to be right with them. They need to know him. Now, there's one really easy way to remember to pray for us personally. We're Jeff and Abby Hunt. If you're driving around and you see a J.B. Hunt truck, that is not our cousin, as far as I know. But when you see their name, remember our name and just pray, Jesus bless the Hunts and the children of South Africa, and you keep on going from there. All right. Now, I do want us to spend time in God's presence today. I want us to raise our hands to heaven. If you need to make a commitment today to establish a time to be in his presence, you make that commitment with him. If you need him to just encourage your heart because it has been weary, then just open your arms and let him encourage your heart today. If you have something specific and you need somebody to partner with you to pray, I know that there are people that will meet you here at the front that will pray with you if you need someone else's voice in that prayer with yours. Now listen, in Africa, we pray all at the same time, all out loud. All right? And I don't know if that's how you normally pray, but in the beginning when we were worshiping, my Beth said to me, "Mom, I don't know what it is about this church, but it feels like Africa." So I just want you to just speak out your heart to him because he is here to hear you. Amen.